May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever noticed that if there's a really good story, people will tell it over and over again and in different ways? Take A Christmas Carol, for example. When Charles Dickens penned this story in December 1843, he wrote in the preface, "I've endeavored in this ghostly little book to raise the ghost of an idea which will not put my readers out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with me. May it haunt their houses pleasantly." Little did Dickens know or suspect that his ghostly little book would touch the hearts and souls of millions and millions of people well into the 21st century and would be told in numerous movie renditions and spinoffs. Which version is the best? Is it the one with Lionel Barrymore, George C. Scott, Bill Murray, Kermit the Frog, or my all-time favorite, Mr. Magoo? While this question may never be answered, it does emphasize the fact that there are different ways to tell the same story. Today, in the midst of the Christmas season, we encounter another familiar story, one that has been in existence for over 2,000 years, but is told in a very different way. Is the story of the human manifestation of God in the person of Jesus Christ. But wait a second. Where are the shepherds? Where are the angels? Where is the manger? And where is the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes? You will not find these familiar themes and images in John's gospel, but make no mistake about it. This is still the Christmas story. John wants us to know who Jesus, God's Son, is in the larger scheme of life. This is what John's version of the Christmas story is all about. John wants us to know that what God was doing through Jesus didn't just start in Bethlehem with the birth of a Jewish baby boy who was the Son of God. It really began long before the world ever was. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. God is no longer just a cosmic God who touches us from afar. He came to us in the flesh through Jesus Christ, lived with us, and lives with us every moment of every day through His Holy Spirit. Without the light of Christ, who was born in human form and dwelt among us, we would still be in the darkness. God came in the form of Jesus to be with us, to share in our humanity, to experience firsthand our hopes and our fears, to comfort us and to give us His grace through Christ, or as today's gospel says, grace upon grace. This is the good news. This is the Christmas story. And in it, God invites us to open ourselves to this love manifested in the flesh and to receive this love in our hearts. In so doing, this love has the power to transform us and to make us children of God. Or as Paul says in today's reading from Galatians, "Because you are children, God has sent out the Spirit of His sons into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are a child, and if a child, then also an heir through God." In other words, we are all part of God's family. It is in this context that John, in his telling of the Christmas story, compels us to explore the difference the incarnation makes in the life of the world. In so doing, we can't help but personalize the incarnation and proceed to tell our own story where God intersects with our family and our parish. Jesus was born into an earthly family, and his parents brought him up in the Jewish faith. They had him circumcised when he was 8 days old, and after 40 days, they presented him at the temple in Jerusalem and offered a burnt offering. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. And Jesus continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As parents, we are called to raise our children in the faith, to have them baptized, and to make church a regular and natural part of their lives. As our family was growing up, we moved on the average of every 3 or 4 years, and our constant rock was the church. In the late 1990s, we moved to Virginia, and as we were leaving St. Francis Church, Great Falls, on our first Sunday there, I remember seeing a parish sign-up board out of the corner of my eye, asking for volunteers to work at their annual country fair, which was scheduled for the upcoming Saturday, just 6 days away. Being our very first Sunday there, I decided to keep walking. It was then that our son Will stopped and asked, "Dad, aren't we going to sign up to work at the fair? You always say that we should jump right in and get involved with our new church." That Sunday, we all worked at the country fair, and for the next 5 years became involved in the life of the parish and grew in our faith. Active and regular participation is important for our families and for our church. I love watching the families here at St. Francis and burst with joy as I see so many kids grow in their Sunday school classes and as acolytes and take part in church activities. Wasn't it great watching so many of our youth take part in the production of a mall 2 weeks ago? I know God is smiling as he watches us be his church. One of the special things about St. Francis is that so many of the members here actively live out their baptismal covenant by doing all in their power to support others in their life in Christ. Our daughter Katie was in high school when we moved to California over 10 years ago. While the youth group here at St. Francis became a cornerstone for Katie, there was one person who became like another grandfather to her. Many of you may remember Ken Ludlow. From the first Sunday we arrived at St. Francis, Ken went out of his way to talk with Katie. He was so supportive and encouraging of Katie and made a lasting impression on her. Katie said that after church, she would always make a beeline to Ken. We all have the ability to share the light of Christ with those around us, like Ken Ludlow did. Another light of Christ is the group of fifth graders that John Bukowski leads, or as he says, tries to keep up with. John and the kids and other volunteers come up for prayers during Eucharist on a regular basis and pray right over here in a huddle in which Christ is in the middle. Their spirit is infectious. The kids started calling themselves the Wolf Pack after they discussed the famous story of St. Francis and the wolf. They talked about how the wolf wanted to kill the villagers, and in turn the hunters wanted to do away with the wolf. St. Francis found a third way, the way of Christ, in brokering peace between the two adversaries. The wolf pack decided that they must always look for that third option. John said that there is a presence of the Holy Spirit within this group of fifth graders that never ceases to amaze him. Our parish prayer chain, our weekly prayer minister doing ministry during Eucharist, and our monthly Taizé healing prayer service are made possible through the light of Christ and have touched, comforted, and helped heal people throughout our community and the world. Therefore, we were not surprised when NBC Nightly News reported within this past week that there is growing medical evidence of the power of prayer to heal body and soul. Researchers from Duke and Dartmouth, to name a few, report that prayer can reduce depression and anxiety and evoke a relaxation response that quells stress, quiets the body, and promotes healing. We believe in the power of prayer and extend an open invitation for all to take part in our various prayer offerings. Yes, the light of Christ is seen throughout our parish, through our choir and all who serve during worship, through our hospitality and fellowship activities, our active prayer and pastoral care ministry, and through our various outreach efforts. The light of Christ has been shining at St. Francis for decades and will continue to shine amidst the comings and goings of all who worship here, including our clergy. My wife, Suzanne, and I have attended 8 churches as we have moved around the world, and we have experienced 6 different rectors leave from our parishes. I promise we had nothing to do with their leaving. Change and transition are a normal part of life and a normal part of parish life. And at each church, God worked through the new clergy leaders to deepen and expand the congregation's faith and ministry. As we go about wishing Sarah and her family farewell, we know and trust our light at St. Francis will continue to spread. We are blessed through Mother Paula, a gifted staff, outstanding volunteers, and the constant support of our bishop and our diocese. I am strengthened and uplifted through the light of Christ. I constantly see and experience through each of you and pray that all of us through our lives will tell the Christmas story of the human manifestation of God in Christ. The shepherds, angels, and stable are optional, for there is more than one way to tell the story. Merry Christmas.